This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Los Angeles Clippers are not your punching bag, Golden State Warriors. Lest you think you can show up and just by virtue of your good looks and those three-point shots from half court cause them to lay down and let you move on. Well, think again. Oh, and if you were wondering, there might be a cautionary tale out there somewhere. Maybe a warning sign, a flashing red light. Well, if you're the Warriors, did it come in the form of the Washington Capitals losing at home in Game 7 against the upstart Hurricanes? I don't know what more you need to see. There's no such thing as unbeatable. Yes, the Warriors still have a 3-2 lead, but they've lost two games, back-to-back games at home in these playoffs, and it's only the first round. And this is the 8th seed. I've been saying they look vulnerable for months. When they play defense like that, or more accurately, when they don't play defense, when the Clippers have 4,921 points in the paint in the first half, or so it seemed. Oh, they're definitely vulnerable. It takes a little something extra when you've got the bullseye on your back, and they have a perpetual bullseye on their backs. It's been there for years. Yes, they played more basketball than any other team. Yes, they get everybody's best shot. Yes, all the pressure is on them. But it's a good problem to have, right? Until it's not. It's a good problem to have until you're knocked out. Ahem, Washington Capitals. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Good Thursday morning to you, and happy NFL Draft Day, if that's something that you're giddy over. The NFL is masterful at attracting the spotlight, grabbing you, and sucking you back in just when you think you've gotten out scot-free. Oh, no, here they come again. The NFL landing in Nashville, Tennessee. First time ever that the NFL draft will take place in Music City, one of my favorite cities in the United States, though I will not be there. Instead, I will be here during the first round of the NFL draft. Really excited about a new challenge. I have not done a two-person show in years and years, so that's part of the fun. I'm looking forward to co-hosting with Mark Melusis, who actually will be doing his morning show anyway. Not me. I will not be doing After Hours this time tomorrow. I didn't even ask the boss if he wanted me to. I didn't give him that option. Instead, Moose and I will be here from 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. That's 5 o'clock Pacific time. Buckle up. We're expecting all kinds of drama because that's the NFL. Now, if you believe some of the reports out there, not all of the reports, the Cardinals are still expected to select Heisman Trophy winner Kyler Murray with that number one overall pick, but they haven't traded Josh Rosen. I get wanting to play your cards close to the vest, but if they draft Murray first and then try to trade Rosen, you're getting nothing for him. You might not even get what the Pittsburgh Steelers got for Antonio Brown. You might get a sixth round pick. I mean, they've got to move Rosen if they're going to draft Murray, right? Either way, that would also be a dead giveaway. But it's Thursday, the actual day of the NFL draft. Anytime now. Both Steve Keim and Cliff Kingsbury are making some very complimentary remarks about Josh Rosen. I don't know if that's meant to throw people off the scent. Forget that. The time for smoke screens, the time for smoke and mirrors, the time for misdirection and redirection, the time for distractions, it's over. For reals, you're on the clock now, Arizona. And so we'll be here tonight for the draft. I hope that you'll join us. 2019 NFL draft coverage on CBS Sports Radio. Again, we start just about the time that Roger Goodell gets booed. Unless he doesn't. I'm thinking Tennessee sports fans might be a little kinder. A little gentler. What has Roger Goodell ever done wrong to the Tennessee Titans? But it'll be fun. I'm just going to be honest. It's one of my favorite parts of the draft. And also, we generally get some surprises in the first round. A couple of guest announcers, guest pickers. That sounds weird. But last year, we got Ryan Shazier, which was awesome. He walked out there on that stage with a cane and his fiance, and the entire place was in tears. I was in tears in my living room. So maybe we'll get some type of a surprise during this first round in Nashville. I saw this post from Dennis, who's in Tennessee, on our Facebook page. He says, I think it might be cool to see Steve McNair's son announce one of the Titans picks. I don't know if that'll happen. They like to play these things very tight, very close. But I'm sure there are a couple of surprises in store.
Good evening. Welcome, everybody.
And then, of course, the booing. How long will it go? Chris set the line at 10 seconds. I know it's Nashville, but it's still Roger Goodell. And people love to hate him, but he also enjoys being the villain. We'll be here for the booing. I'll be here for the booing. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. What does your team need to do in the first round? We won't deal with the rest of the rounds. On this show, we're asking you, in the first round, what does your team need to do? So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. And if you haven't seen the story of Mo Gabba, we'll make sure that you check that out. I retweeted it a little while ago. Maybe I'll tell a story a little bit later this hour. But also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, a lot of you are weighing in. Some of you making jokes, like Dan, who says, can the Cowboys draft a new owner? Actually, you're not the only one. I think I saw a Redskins fan ask the same question. Can we fire the owner? Nope. So what does your team actually need? Again, on Twitter or Facebook, or our phone number is 855-212-4227. In the midst of all of this playoff drama, sudden death, overtimes, surprise endings and surprise results, I don't know that the NFL draft is calm, but it's a completely different kind of drama. So that'll be fun, a fun way to end the work week. April, it's absolutely insane. Sports never stop. All right, let's start with the defending Stanley Cup champions. They had a 2-0 lead in this Game 7 against the Carolina Hurricanes. And man, was I impressed with them right off the top. Especially their second goal. They had two goals in the first period. Bang, bang. But their second goal, Alex Ovechkin snipes a pass instead of sniping a shot. And it was perfect. It was pinpoint. It set up Tom Wilson on the other side of the crease like no one else can. And the Capitals were flying high. First period, the crowd is insane. They've already got a 2-0 lead, and Ovechkin got another assist. He had 9 points in the series, by the way, which was more than any other player. That and maybe a buck will get you a bag of chips in the vending machines here at CBS Sports Radio. But the Hurricanes kept coming back. They tied it on a Jordan Staal goal early in the third period. And then it was white knuckle time. Buckle up. Twice in the last few minutes of regulation, the Capitals nearly took the lead. Those moments when you're yelling at the TV, how did that not go in? Or maybe that's just me. Anybody else do that? Okay, maybe it's just me. It's fine. I'm okay with that. But now there was one particular moment in which Brock McGinn had to dive on a puck. We saw that a few times in the first round of the playoffs. He dives on a puck and he keeps it from going across the goal line and allowing the Capitals to end it in regulation. So kind of feel like it was only fitting that he had his chance on offense standing in front of the net. We're talking about double overtime. Exhaustion sets in. And this was a stunning moment in D.C.
Cradled by Slavin through the slot and back up Terrifying and Williams. Oh, they score! Hey, what do you say? The Canes Hurts win in overtime. It is seventh heaven, and the Carolina Hurricanes have advanced to the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
There is so much to say. That's John Forslund on the Carolina Hurricanes radio network. I like that he had his call ready to go. Hey, hey, what do you say? Something you might hear on any other night, but not seventh heaven. The Hurricanes trailed 2-0 early on. Then they trailed 3-1. They had to push through double overtime. They outshot the Capitals, who were even more exhausted. They were worn out. Outshot the Capitals 18-6 in sudden death. And just like that, the defending champs are out. Brock McGinn. Yeah, not a household name. Although, how many of the Hurricanes are household names? Justin Williams, maybe. Mr. Game 7 is what they call him. Well, he had an assist. In fact, it was his shot that got redirected by McGinn into the net past Braden Holtby, who was almost unable to form a sentence after the game. He was so shocked. They're all shell-shocked. Some of you fans telling me that winning the Stanley Cup a year ago doesn't make this one any easier. And it was the earliest elimination for the Capitals since 2013. But big picture, if you love fresh blood, well, this Stanley Cup postseason is for you. The only time this has ever happened in NHL history, all four division winners out in the first round. Both the top seeds in the East and the West, in Tampa Bay and Calgary. You nearly had the second seed in the West out. The San Jose Sharks needed sudden death of their own and some miraculous comeback to survive. But all four division leaders, sayonara. So if that's not a cautionary tale for the Golden State Warriors, I'm not sure what is. So what you got from the Capitals following this game? Shock, hurt, pain, obviously. And for the Hurricanes, now they move on to face the Islanders. Do have a couple of series that are starting coming up on Thursday. Now, thank God the Game 7s are over before the draft because I don't think my brain or my sports heart could handle it. But we do have a couple of series that are starting coming up Thursday evening. One of them in the East, one in the West. The Blue Jackets at the Bruins, who now actually will have home ice the rest of the way in the Eastern Conference. I'd have to check and see if they had more points than San Jose. It depends on how far these teams go, of course. And then Dallas at St. Louis. That's game one of a Western Conference series with the Stars and the Blues. As for the NBA, well, the Rockets are done. And Lou Williams thinks the Warriors were looking ahead to Houston and not taking the Clippers seriously. He also admits we're arrogant, and boy, did he back it up. He talked the talk, and on Wednesday night in Oracle, he also walked the walk. Whew. It's one of those mic drop type of a games. It was awesome. Awesome to see him close. Awesome to see him accelerate, and you'll hear more of it coming up next. I'm telling you, Golden State Warriors. Go into a seventh game in the first round. Woo! Be scary. Scary for a lot of basketball fans. A little pressure on the champs. I think it might be great for hoops. Unless, of course, they were knocked out. Could you imagine the NBA's reaction? Behind closed doors in the NBA offices? Oh, my gosh. They might boo Roger Goodell. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
For three, he put it in! Counted it a foul! Oh my! Oh my! Pure madness from Sweet Lou! Oh my goodness! 120 to 118, Clippers out in front. Oh, by the way, counted it a foul!
The Clippers have numbers if they hurry. Lou is aware. He's on the right wing. He accelerates from the wing to the lane. Stops and pops from five. The shot is good! 123 to 118! Oh my! 31 for Lou. Lou down the middle of the floor, moves to his left, stops on the elbow, fades, and fires. He's done it again. Oh, my goodness.
Lou Williams puts the Clippers out in front by 7. An 8-0 run by the Clippers. Timeout, Warriors.
Durant has 45. He's at the foul circle. He moves to his right, gives to Iguodala for a 3. No. Oh, my. Rebound to Beverly. Listen to the sound of silence. The Clippers are winners in Oakland again. Oh, my goodness. 129-121.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Ryan Seaman says pretty much everything you need to know. They're winners in Oakland again. Both of the Clippers' wins have come at the home of the Golden State Warriors. Man, when was the last time they lost back-to-back playoff games in their own building? Feels like forever. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So starting the fourth quarter, the Clippers already had over 100 points. As I said, they were killing it in the paint. This is not them hitting a bunch of threes. This was them taking the ball to the rim, whether it be Lou, whether it be Montrezl Harrell, whether it be Danilo Gallinari, all of them, an all-out assault on the rim. And it seemed like no matter what they did or what they tried, they ended up with a wide-open look, point blank. Until the Warriors started playing some D. So the Clips were up by 10 to start the fourth quarter. And after seeing the defense extremely lax most of the game, too many easy layups, too many points in the paint, I guess the Warriors decided, okay, now it's time to get serious. And so they were bearing down in a stretch there in the fourth quarter. They forced the Clippers into 7 straight empty possessions. And then KD, I mean, he was great all night long in terms of the offense, of course. He had a career playoff high, 45. But he has a pair of driving dunks. I think I'll go to the hoop and dunk this over you. One of those was over Lou Williams, one specifically that I remember. So he has one dunk that ties the game at 116. And then he has another dunk that gives the Warriors their first lead since the second quarter. So at that point, I'm thinking, oh, they're inside of 3 minutes. And I'm thinking, all right, they've flipped the switch just in time. Oh, nope. Lou Williams had other ideas. He'll tell you he's arrogant. He'll tell you the team is arrogant. And they also carry this major chip on their shoulder. He said, this is what the Warriors get for looking ahead to the next round.
That's something they should focus on. You know, for us, our focus was to come in and extend the series to get another game on our home floor. It's their mistake for looking ahead, you know, and so that's on them.
It's their mistake for looking ahead. That's on them. Ooh. He answers KD's dunks with some monster shots of his own. A 3, and then a couple of more buckets going to the left. Pull-ups, fadeaways. 9-0 run is what the Clippers rattle off after losing the lead. He was fearless. The Clippers, they were able to essentially score at will most of the night. Lou ends up with 33 points, 10 assists. And crazy enough, because this is sports, the Warriors can win in L.A., but somehow can't win on their own court in the final few months of Oracle. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. What does your team need in this first round of the NFL draft? And I understand there are some teams that need pretty much everything, and so it's hard to narrow it down. Maybe you can't fit it into a 280-character tweet. And of course, you have to take your name and your Twitter handle out of those 280 characters. But Bruce says, do you think you can speak on the Falcons before this show is over? We actually did talk about the Falcons a little bit. I feel like they essentially need every position on the defense. Okay, not every position. But they could definitely use some pass rushers. Certainly could use some extra pieces in their secondary. Do they have a running back? I think they might need a running back. Some help at running back. Offensive lineman for sure. Hopefully that helps, Bruce. But I have no idea what they're going to do. We'll see. The NFL draft just inserting itself right into the conversation. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I'm pleased that others of you also yell at the TV, how did that puck not go in the net? It's probably a good thing that none of us watch together because that would be... My dog's She gets scared half to death when I yell. She'll be sleeping, snoring. How does she do that during game sevens or during football games? Snoring away. And then I yell about something and it scares her half to death because she wasn't expecting it. I'm so mean. So mean to my zoo. So Lou Williams poking fun at the bear. And maybe just a little bit getting out of the warrior skin. I don't know that that's why Klay Thompson was grouchy, but I do know Klay Thompson was grouchy. You wouldn't like him when he's grouchy. Actually, I think I like Klay better when he's grouchy. Don't ask him if they can build on their strong fourth quarter. Nope. Wrong line of questioning.
Ain't no building. Just go do what we do. Like, build from this game. This game sucked. We lost. Let's go win Friday. Let's win big. Let's freaking win by 30, like we're capable of. But it's basketball. So I'm excited for Friday.
So salty. I like salty Klay. Building? Building. Like he spits it out. Building? No building. We're defending champs. This game sucked. I love that nobody else would say it. Wait, compare Klay Thompson to Steph Curry, who's oh so diplomatic. Any panic at all, Steph?
I mean, definitely surprised, not what we're used to, but there's no panic at all. We have to realize that, you know, this year is different. There's different challenges, whether it's human nature, whether it's, you know, talent or the competition we're playing.
It's just such a different vibe from Steph, who, of course, is used to answering all kinds of crazy questions. He's so even keel. There's no panic. We're still up 3-2. Meanwhile, it's Klay Thompson in the peanut gallery. This game sucked. I think we need. I'm not rooting for the Warriors to lose. I actually think the playoffs are more interesting with the Warriors alive. Let's be honest. We needed a little bit of juice. We need a little bit of intensity. Maybe a little pressure on the Warriors. However, I don't know that we need them to lose. And by we, I just mean collectively. Basketball fans out there, casual fans for sure. My mom doesn't watch a basketball game during the regular season, but she watches every single one of the games, the Warriors and the Celtics. Oh, now the Bucks, because she knows the Bucks are the Celtics' next round opponent. Yeah, she loves the style of play of the Splash Brothers. She actually calls them that, which makes me laugh out loud. She knows their nicknames as well. Anyway, let's just be honest. It would be really bad for the NBA to not have either LeBron or the Warriors past this first round.
This game sucked. We lost.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
The attack of the killer cell phone, it never gets old. Just absolutely revolted and took over that phone call. I still get tweets, by the way, from those of you who want to hear the phone bot. That's what you call it, the phone bot, who takes over the attack of the killer cell phone. Oh my gosh, the stuff that happens on this show, it's outrageous. And sometimes I have nothing to do with it. It happens, and I'm a innocent bystander. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. If you're not familiar with our show Twitter, producer Chris does a sports TBT every Thursday morning, and this is a good one. Well, yes, it's a good memory, unless you're a fan of the Penguins and you're still upset over them getting swept in the first round by the Islanders, but this is a reminder of more prosperous times. Mario Lemieux ties an NHL playoff record, 4 goals in the first period on this date in 1989. I'm glad that we get a brief reprieve from the drama and the tension and the heart palpitations of game sevens. We've had 3 in not even 48 hours, 3 in like 36 hours. And it was a lot. It's overtimes and just breathing into a paper bag. And so I'm kind of glad that tonight we can focus on the NFL draft. A lot of you weighing in now with your team's needs and what you think your team should do in the first round of the NFL draft. And so you can find us on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. Do I need to do it? It's brought to you by Geico. I need to do it. With some great news, there's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Brett says on our Facebook page, it's nice to have the draft to distract us from being Heartbreak City. I don't know what city he's referring to, though. There's a lot of cities in the United States. Maybe he means Nashville, though, because he says we have the draft. We call him Fidel Goodell. Is that a reference to Fidel? Well, Fidel Goodell. A reference to Fidel Castro, I'm assuming. Wow. It's not the same as someone who travels to Cuba on a regular basis. But okay, if that's what we're going to hear from the very creative fans in Nashville. The booing might drown you out. So it's going to be interesting to see whether or not the fans there take exception with Roger Goodell, who's been very complimentary of the city as well as the owner of the Titans, Amy Adams Strunk. A couple pieces of news. Ben Roethlisberger signs a contract extension. I am seeing some of you tell me on Facebook and Twitter that you think the Steelers need to go ahead and get a jump and draft their next quarterback. The issue, of course, is that if you're looking for your franchise QB to replace Roethlisberger in a few years, while you may have a steal or have a find at, let's say, the number 20 pick, which I just cannot imagine the Steelers would use the number 20 pick when they have other big needs on a quarterback. The way that they almost made the playoffs, right? They were in the running until the last day of the regular season, which means they're farther down in the draft. Same thing in round two. Though maybe they'll take a flyer on a QB at some point, but that to me is not a very high priority. You certainly wouldn't do it in the first round of this draft. And then you're not necessarily expecting to get elite talent later in the draft. Now, does it happen? Sure. Tom Brady, Dak Prescott starting for the Cowboys. He wasn't a first round or a second round pick. Tony Romo was an undrafted quarterback. So was Jake Delhomme, the Carolina Panthers. I mean, there's all kinds of stories. But I don't think that that's a priority for the Pittsburgh Steelers right now. I think they would rather wait and use their draft picks on other needs, especially since they know they'll have Ben Roethlisberger until 2021, at least. Now, he just turned 37 about a month ago. This could be his last deal. A two-year extension. He was already under contract for the upcoming season in 2019 and now has two more years. So the good thing about that is we won't have to talk about it during the year at all. So an extension that actually includes a $30 million injury guarantee, $37.5 million signing bonus. So at least according to the numbers that we've got now, $80 million over the next three seasons. Which doesn't make him Russell Wilson territory. I mean, he's not underpaid, and he's happy with what he's got. He still had a year left on his other deal, but he wasn't out to break the bank. He wasn't out to be the highest paid quarterback in the next couple of years. So that's refreshing. I mean, how much money is too much money? Can you ever get to the point where you just don't need any more money? Probably. And also this story, which won't spend a lot of time on, but Tyreek Hill will not face child abuse charges. And even though the district attorney in Johnson County, which is where the authorities were called, even though that district attorney believes that a crime did occur, they don't have enough evidence, they say, to charge either Tyreek or his fiance. She was listed on, you know, on the court cases or on the police documents as well. So that's sad. It's really sad that this child was abused, was hurt, and yet either they're not going to, no one's going to speak up. They're not going to point the finger at the other because they don't have enough evidence, they don't have corroborating stories, or that they're willing to let it go, whether it's the parents or someone else, that people are willing to stay quiet about a child being hurt. I don't understand that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. One great story, though, that makes me really happy. You may have seen this or heard this with the Baltimore Ravens. On Wednesday, Coach John Harbaugh called into a radio station, but they also had this young fan. He's 13 years old. He's battling cancer. Mo Gabba is his name. He's called into the show before. Sweet voice, adorable giggle. You would never know that not only is he battling cancer, but he's been blind since he was 9 months old. He talks about his Ravens. He loves his Orioles. Sometimes he can't sleep. He has really bad insomnia, and so he calls his favorite radio stations. And so they're going to use him to announce their fourth round pick, and he'll do it on a card written in Braille, which is just amazing. And his reaction when John Harbaugh asked him to make this pick was priceless. The unadulterated joy, the surprise, of course. Really? You have to go and watch this video that the Ravens put together. They had a camera on Mo. And so I retweeted it a little while ago, only because I have spoken to him multiple times and because he's so sweet and you would never know what he's facing in his personal life. And I love the fact that the Ravens are using this platform that they have, this incredible platform, to focus on what matters most, which is people, and to grant this young man a priceless memory, to give him some joy, where very often he's struggling, or very often his life is difficult, more difficult than many of us can imagine. And so good for you, Baltimore Ravens, but even better, good for you, Mo. One of my favorite callers ever. You would never forget his voice if you've ever heard him call up the show. It's just sweet and cute. And that giggle. So I'm awesome. I'll be looking for Mo on Saturday. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. The PGA Tour heads to the Big Easy for a unique two-man format. Jason Day and Adam Scott plus Sergio Garcia and Tommy Fleetwood. It's the Zurich Classic of New Orleans this weekend on CBS. I'm back for the first round of the NFL draft tonight, 8 p. Eastern, 5 p. Pacific. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.